David Walker, and welcome to the program, David.
Well, thanks, Terry. Well, you really know how to introduce a guy and make him feel good.
Well, I'm trying to. You know, one of the things about bass fishing is it's really about the anglers. And one of the things we do here at Bass Fan is really try to promote what the anglers are about. You know, we really got three objectives, and that is to promote the angler, to promote the sport, and then to promote the sponsors that participate in the sport. So the anglers are right up there on top, though. We want to make sure we do our job with you guys.
Well, you guys are doing an awesome job. Bass Fan, I know, has become the tool for the fishermen to check out who's doing what, the information on what's going on. And I mean, any time you talk to somebody, you want to find out even the standings. We head to Bass Fan to see just who's doing what around there. And I know you guys have done just an awesome job in the last year, and it's really opened a lot of people's eyes to how valuable the internet is.
Well, you know, you go down that path, you know, we talk about the source for competitive bass fishing, and, you know, you kind of lose track of the fact that it's on the internet. You know, magazines have been so popular now with ESPN and the things that they're doing on the television venue, but now all of a sudden, Bass Fan comes into line, and they're looking at the intranet, and now with a new TV program on the horizon, and also this radio program that you and I are doing, man, oh man, you know, it just keeps being more and more things going on in the bass fishing world.
Yeah, the amount of information that's coming to the fishermen, it's grown by leaps and bounds. It's amazing to me, just in the last few years, how many more places you can go to find out about things. You know, back when I was first subscribing to Bassmasters, there was two magazines to get, one from Operation Bass and one from Bass, and that was it. And the information that was in there was, you know, it was dated material, and by the time you got it, it was about tournaments that had happened months prior. Now we're talking about, you know, we're sitting around tapping our fingers because the standings aren't up yet, and it's been 30 minutes since the weigh-in. So it's really amazing how much it's grown and how quickly.
Well, you know, you talked about maybe some of the learning techniques that were involved too. I mean, if you got Bassmaster magazine or the, you know, Bass Fishing magazine, you looked at it, and it was something that you were able to grow and learn more about your sport, and that was really the only way you had it, plus, you know, on-the-water training. But now, with the internet, holy cow, you can do all kinds of stuff. You can pick up that and look out. You can read articles. You can, you know, talk to anglers. It's just all out there and available to you.
Exactly. And, you know, I used to read a magazine from cover to cover. You'd even read the little ads and the little fine print around the backside and everything by the time the next issue would come out. Now, the days with places like Bass Fan, you can go to it, and there's new stories just every day. And that, you know, that's a great thing for the whole sport, and it really does help the fishermen. And you can tell that the younger guys are learning a lot faster than what they did, say, even 10 years ago.
Well, you know, David, championships are so important, and you've got not had a bad history there at all. I mean, you've been to the Classic twice now, and, you know, the Angler of the Year and the FLW side, and going to the championship again as usual every year. And it's got to be one of these things where now you've got to be dialed in, and you've got these people that you mentioned are learning more. You're one of those guys who's got to try to stay on top, don't you?
You really do. And, you know, by ignoring some of this information, it's always good for me to keep my ear to the network as well, to keep up with the latest things, because things happen so quickly now. You know, before maybe a bait or a trend would take months or even years by the time it went from one area to the next. Now, with the help of the internet and the much information that's out there, you know, it doesn't take long for techniques or baits to get spread from one country to another, let alone from state to state.
Well, David, if you look back and you look at, you know, kind of the trends and where you came from, I know you originally from Kentucky, now live in Sevierville, Tennessee, and, you know, you kind of live there in the hotbed where, you know, you're going to be a jig fisherman, possibly a power fisherman, maybe a guy that might fish some deep water. How has that helped you as far as fishing the rest of the country?
Well, it really has helped me. When I first was learning how to bass fish, I was growing up when I was a kid, I learned how to fish on natural lakes up in Michigan. I had never fished a reservoir in my life till moved to Kentucky in 1990, so I had to basically learn how to fish reservoirs, and that is a huge difference. I mean, it's really intimidating. The lakes I grew up fishing were, for bass anyway, were mostly small natural lakes that you could see around the whole thing, and we just fished grass lines, and there wasn't any deal about water movement or schooling fish and things like that. You just fished around the grass for the bass, and then I ended up having to learn how to fish on reservoirs. And it, like you say, this area here, there's a lot of reservoirs. You know, I live on the upper end of the Tennessee River, and there's a lot of fishing around here. And that's exactly where you need to be if you're going to be a bass fisherman. You need to be around a lot of people with the same similar interests in areas where you can fine-tune your skills.
Well, characterize yourself. Are you a power fisherman? Are you a finesse fisherman? You like throwing a top water? If you were going to say, hey, there's one thing I can take along with me, you know, how would you present yourself?
Well, a jig is probably the one bait if I only had to take one with me. Just because of the versatility of it, you can fish it deep or shallow and anywhere in the United States. But there's times when that's not the bait to be throwing. But if you want to narrow it down to one, you know, there's a few baits out there. If you took all the tournaments and you read about the standings and who finished where and what, 90% of the time the tournament's either won on a spinnerbait, a crankbait, or a jig. And all the others are just details. If you become popular with one of those three baits, then until you get up to the northern part and when jerkbaits become really popular around with the smallmouths. But for the rest of the country, those three baits are something that just about always are the key.
Well, I'm going to put a couple tags on you. I'm going to say you're versatile. And then on top of that, you also are a power fisherman. So it's one of those things where we, you know, when we look back at how people fish, some guys like to set on one area and just strain it. And there's other people that like the run and gun technique. And, you know, really, in my impression of you and knowing you the short time I have, that's kind of the way I look at you.
Yeah, I do. I move around a lot and fish a lot of new areas because, you know, if things are going stale for me, I just don't have the patience to stay there because I'll just keep right on moving and just fishing as quickly as I can and try to cover as much water as I can just to increase my odds.
Well, I remember the first classic, there was a guy that ran 160 miles plus one direction. That was you. Had an opportunity to win the classic. Thought you had it won. Came in and had a neat event, but ended up in third place. But that had to be a highlight probably for your career.
It really was. It was, and it really taught me a lot about fishing classics and fishing under those extreme pressure situations. You know, the more times you do something, the better you're going to get at it, as long as you learn something from it. And, you know, that year I was so disappointed with the finish, but it did teach me a lot about, you know, fishing under the gun, so to speak, at the Classic with the whole world watching you see what you're going to do. And so the next year, coming into the Classic down at Lay Lake, you know, Yellow Sea had a big lead, but I never would relinquish it to him until the final weigh-in. You know, so many people wanted you to say, yeah, well, he's got it won because he's got so much of a lead. But I never would give up on that because I knew last year that anything can happen, no matter what you think you're going to happen. When it comes to fish, there's so many variables out there that we can't control that it ain't over till it's over.
Well, you know, you remember back Rick Klun, he was a guy that came back from 10 pounds down to win the Classic several years ago. And then, you know, you talk about had the water not moved. You know, you look at Jay Ellis's pattern was one of those things where he was really looking for that water to move. Had they not turned that water on and had he not had that water movement, you could have come back.
Exactly. I mean, in the lake, you know, it showed the potential of having a really big stringer. So to say that gaining 9 pounds on somebody there was impossible, it just wasn't the case. And I know Aaron, he told me that I was, Aaron Martin's there, he finished second. And I was fishing some of the same areas he was, and we were sharing information. But on the final day, I never did see him because I stayed down the lake and took a gamble to try and win the thing. And Aaron told me that the water movement was much more than what they expected. So, and he'd caught him pretty good. But had that not happened, him like Jay both would have really struggled to catch anything.
Well, David, you know, every year I look up in the top of the leaderboard. You know, it doesn't matter where it's at here at Bass Fan. We keep really a daily total of what's going on and where you fit in the rankings. And now with the Professional Anglers Association on top of that, there's just a lot of people looking at that every day. And, you know, at Bass Fan, we think that probably what we're going to see is those guys that are in that top echelon are going to continue to be in that top echelon because they know just how important it is to sponsors and that type of thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the Bass Fan's world ranking is something that it's really excited a lot of the fishermen about is to see, you know, combining the two trails and showing just, and when you look at it, you know, and you read down the names, you know, the names and the places that they're in, they just make a lot of sense.
Well, we're looking at a 3-year total on that, and we're trying to, you know, as we listen to the anglers and listen to things, and we're tweaking it all the time trying to make it better, but it really is the rankings for the pros, and we're glad you're on it. We're glad you're up there in the top.
Well, thanks. Thanks. I seem to keep hovering right around just outside the top 10, so I really want to break into that.
Well, you'll get that done, and again, I appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Well, thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having me.